Ever feel like these days, it's all emojis all the time? Like we're drowning in tiny pictures.
That's how we talk now, right?
Well, get this. Today's deep dive takes us back to a time when pictures weren't just for, texting your lunch order.
We're talking serious ancient communication.
Exactly. We're heading to Easter Island to unravel the mystery of Rongorongo.
And these weren't just any old symbols, these glyphs, twib stories, real stories about life on the island.
It's like their whole world, beliefs, rituals, even their awe of nature. It's all there, carved into wood.
And the amazing thing is sometimes these images actually back up what we know from archaeology about the Rapa Nui people. It's like getting confirmation from the past.
Totally. Okay, so let's jump into one of these real-life connections. Listener, picture this, the Birdman competition. And when I say competition, I mean intense. We're talking National Geographic documentary-level drama.
High stakes.
You know it.
Yeah.
Our listener sent over some incredible research by Nick Lossis, and his work really brings this ritual to life.
Oh yeah, Nick's great. And this Birdman thing, it's a perfect example of how Rongorongo wasn't just pretty pictures. They were documenting something vital to their culture. Imagine the entire island buzzing with anticipation. They're all waiting to see who's going to win. An
An
egg.
egg. That's it. Seems a little anticlimactic, for such a big deal.
But this wasn't just any egg hunt. This was life or death, status, the whole shebang. Okay, so picture a tiny jagged islet just off the coast of Easter Island, home to these seabirds, sooty terns.
Gotcha. Sooty terns, I'm picturing them.
First man to brave that swim, climb those treacherous cliffs, and bring back the first egg of the season, he's the Birdman.
Okay, suddenly that egg seems a lot more valuable. But it wasn't just bragging rights, was it? This Birdman title, it had real weight, right? Like for the whole island.
Oh, absolutely. This was about mana spiritual power for the whole community. The Birdmen, they were practically worshipped for a year. They were the key to a good harvest, good fortune, everything.
Talk about pressure. Can you imagine that moment? The Birdman fights his way back to shore, exhausted, maybe a little worse for wear, but he's holding that egg high.
I bet the crowd went wild.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And what gets me is this whole scene, this insane competition. It's all captured in those Rongorongo glyphs. It's like each one's a tiny window into a world that's vanished. And it makes you wonder, what other secrets are they hiding?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? What's so cool is how Niklas, he uses these little visual stories as a jumping-off point to explore even bigger Easter Island mysteries. Like, what's the deal with those massive Moai
Oh,
statues?
I'm all ears. Those statues are iconic. Everyone's seen pictures of those giant stone heads. But what's Nick's take on them? Where'd they come from?
So picture those rugged Easter Island coastlines, the ones getting pounded by the Pacific. Over centuries, those waves, they've carved the volcanic rock into these crazy shapes.
He's saying the Moai, those iconic faces, are like echoes of the island's natural sculptures.
Exactly. It's like they looked at those eroded cliffs and saw themselves, or maybe even gods watching over them. And it gets even weirder. Nick points out how a lot of the Moai, they're facing inland.
Protecting their people from the sea.
Makes you wonder, right? Like, was building the Moai their way of keeping the ocean happy? Because, yeah, the sea was their lifeline, but it was also this massive, unpredictable force.
Right, like a force of nature they had to respect.
Totally. So maybe those Moai, inspired by the sea-carved rocks, were also a way to appease that power, to make sure the sea stayed, as Nick puts it, dry through evaporation.
Wow.
Yes.
It's like they're trying to walk this tightrope with nature. Trying to harness its power, but also like stay on its good side. Okay, get this. Nick then connects the Rongorongo to Mayan art. And I know what you're thinking, Easter Island and the Maya. Those are worlds apart.
It does seem crazy, right? But when you see the glyphs he's talking about, the similarities, they kind of jump out at you. Like there's this one that seems to be showing the tides high and low.
Hold on, a tide glyph. What does that even look like?
Okay, so picture a shark, jaws wide open, right next to this fishman figure. And beside them, these two columns, one with a closed top, one with a closed bottom, connected by this bridge-like thing.
Okay, that's some seriously mythic imagery right there. But how's that tides?
Well, Nick thinks that shark, maybe a sea monster of some kind, it's swallowing the water, creating low tide. And the columns, with their open and closed ends, those could be those high and low water marks you see on the shore.
So they're using their own visual language to tell a story about the ocean, kind
Weird.
of like how ancient cultures everywhere had myths to explain the things they didn't quite understand.
Exactly.
But what about the Maya? Where do they fit into all this?
So Nick compares this whole shock and calm thing to how the Maya depicted their water deities. Figures like Chac and his wife, who are all about rain, rivers, the life-giving forces of water.
So even though they were a world away, both the Rapa Nui and the Maya, they used these powerful images, sharks, serpents, gods, to try and wrap their heads around this essential force of nature, water.
It really makes you think about how we're all connected, doesn't it? I mean, across time, across cultures, we're all trying to find meaning in the same big, mysterious world. And speaking of connections, Nick doesn't stop at the tides. He says some Rangarango glyphs seem to show something else vital to life on Easter Island: rain.
And it's not just a random image of rain either. It's like they're weaving a story with these glyphs. They show the rain alongside other glyphs, showing how everything's connected.
Oh, I see. So it's not just, hey, look, it's raining. It's more nuanced than that.
Right. Like Nick says, these rain glyphs look kind of like semicircles with bars.
Almost like, you know, a rain gauge.
Yeah, exactly. Like they were tracking different types of rain, different intensities. It's pretty amazing.
So they were really paying attention to the details, to the variations in something as essential as rain. Didn't he connect this back to those Moai somehow? You got it. It all ties together. The rain, the tides, the Moai. It's all part of this big, beautiful, interconnected system of belief. Think about it. The rain falls, nourishes the land, flows back to the sea. The Moai may be inspired by those sea-carved rocks. They help keep the ocean in check, make sure it doesn't swallow the island.
And remember that other glyph we talked about? The one that maybe shows an offering being made to a Moai.
Exactly. So you've got this potential offering, maybe to ensure the Moai keeps doing its job, keeping things in balance. You've got the rain glyphs, you've got the tide glyphs, and it all comes together.
It really paints a picture, doesn't it?
It's like a window into how they saw the world, how they understood their place in it, this idea of cycles, of balance, and humans. They're right there in the middle of it all, trying to find their way, trying to live in harmony with these powerful forces.
This whole deep dive into the Rongorongo, it's been incredible. It's like we've just scratched the surface, you know. But even those few glimpses, those little windows into this lost world, it's enough to make you realize just how much we still don't know, how many stories are still waiting to be discovered.
It really gets you thinking. If those ancient images can hold that much meaning, be that complex, what about our symbols? What about the things we take for granted?
Like our emojis.
Exactly. I mean, what will people thousands of years from now think when they see a crying, laughing emoji? What will it tell them about
Now
us?
that's something to think about.